The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
Lights, models, guest list. Just do your best, darling.
And I'm happy to take your call. Thanks for joining me on this Sunday morning, probably anywhere you are in the United States. It should be Sunday morning. So we're having Gay Mass tonight, where we talk about everything under the sun, but particularly some gay topics as well as some mainstream topics as well. So if you want to call in, once again, the number is 323-843-6160. If you have something to say, something to add, or anything at all, feel free to call in. Going to talk tonight about several things, actually. On the gay side of things, we're going to talk about the latest topics on the gay news. On the other side of things, we're going to talk about what's going on with customer service in this world and some of the experiences I've had in my past with customer service, especially recently, and how insanely bad it's been. Also, talking about some crazy stuff going on BTR as well as in the general world, since people are just so mean and unkind these days, and if kindness even counts for anything anymore. And also going to play the newest song by the Pet Shop Boys. Really good song if you like dance music, especially called Axis. Love it. Love the Pet Shop Boys. Some people like them, some people don't, but I love them. Anyway, one more time, if you are interested in calling in, the number is 323-843-6160. And you can check me out at offlimitsshow.com, also at Offlimits Radio on Twitter and Facebook. So hope to hear from you if you want to contact me. So tonight we are talking about, first of all, I wanted to talk a little bit about kindness and people being sort of kind of what's going on. It seems like an epidemic almost in this world. I don't understand really what's happened, but we're going to kind of pontificate on the matter and try to decide, you know, what really is going on with people these days. The way that I was raised, you know, by my mother and my grandmother primarily, you know, both from the South, people from the South, from a small town, both of them, and they were very kind people and just had a certain way about them. They were people who you met somebody, you said hello, you shook their hand, you acknowledged somebody when they came in the room, you just kind of gave people the benefit of the doubt no matter where you went, basically. And you were kind to people. That was the default way to be, being kind, being generous, being thoughtful, being considerate, compassionate, empathetic. All of those things were just the default, the way that my grandmother, my mother, and my family in general were to people, strangers, as well, of course, to ourselves and our family. And these days, it seems like kindness is something that's sort of a lost art. It's something that is really rare that I find people who are just generally or genuinely kind. I consider myself to be a very kind person. When I'm, you know, not being riled up or being, even when I am being riled up, I'm still relatively respectful. But I would say that generally I'm a kind person and I'm giving and compassionate and considerate, blah, 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 all the things I mentioned, because that's how I was raised. And so even still today, and the time we live in, you know, with iPhones and iPads and cable TV and the internet and just the world we live in today with all the noise going around us, it seems to have done something to our brains where we are just disconnected from one another. There was a time when, you know, when I was younger, when I would have to call somebody to talk to them when I was a teenager or when I was in my early 20s, we'd have to call them. We wouldn't communicate by email or text message. We would communicate through a phone call or an actual written letter. Can you remember those written letters? Something that I still do occasionally, rarely, but I really, really gave that up begrudgingly because I did that for a very long time, even well past the age of the internet and email. that's another lost art, I think, as well, letter writing. But I do know that when people get a letter from me, an actual handwritten letter, not typed out on the computer, but a handwritten letter or handwritten note or card or whatever, that it really is appreciated, even more so now these days than it ever was before, I think, because it is such a rarity. And I think people really do appreciate that, even if it's just for a moment, and they feel special to have received something that someone took the time to actually pick out, if it's a card, or actually compose, if it's a letter, and write out by hand in ink or pen or pencil or whatever, crayon, whatever, and actually take the time and effort to say, you matter to me, and I care enough about you to take this time out of my day, the 5 minutes it took or whatever, to actually do this for you. So, and to show you I care. So I find that to be something that is really lacking these days as well. So anyway, my point is that these things are sort of kind of lost in another era, even an era of my own lifetime. So in the time that I've been alive, we've gone from sending mail with a stamp and writing letters to emailing and texting and swift text messages that don't even use actual proper English grammar, that use a U instead of a Y-O-U or an R instead of an R-A-R-E or whatever. And people don't even pay attention to their grammar at all. I mean, when they're typing on the internet or email, there, T-H-E-I-R instead of T-H-E-R-E is becoming, they're becoming one these days. And maybe it just drives me crazy. I don't know, but those things drive me insane. I don't know why. I guess because I was good at grammar growing up or whatever, but I just think, you know, you think about how people spoke, you know, think about the Constitution, the United States Constitution, for example, or the Declaration of Independence, or the Emancipation Proclamation, or things that people wrote in the 1700s or the 1800s, even the early 1900s, the way things were written, the way people spoke with an eloquence and a thought and actually put effort into way and how they communicated. Those things, I don't know why I have a longing for them, but I miss them. I think it's because it comes naturally to me to try to speak. I mean, I don't speak the way they did then, obviously, but I'm saying I try to express myself as eloquently as possible when I can. And whether it's, and I speak less well than I do writing something. I write better than I speak, is what I'm trying to say. I'm a very good writer. And sometimes when I'm speaking, I definitely trip over my words or something because I speak generally pretty quickly and fast. In my mind, it goes a million miles an hour. So when I speak, I sometimes have to slow my speaking down because it can become all kind of mumbled together. But my point is that I think that I miss that, and I think we should go back to a time where people took the time and the effort to actually think about what they were saying, think about what they were expressing and putting an effort into it. Think about the poetry and the prose and things that came years before when someone would express they love someone. It wasn't just, I love you. It was, what was the one poem by Shakespeare? Oh, God. Of course, it's not going to come to me now, I think, because I'm getting old. Anyway, so the one where, you know, rose is a rose or whatever. Anyway, so I can't even think of it. That's pathetic. But anyway, they would say things in a way that would move you with their words and would be vivid with imagery and actually come to life off the page and make you feel something and evoke emotion within you. Even if it was just something in the Constitution that it was an official document or something that was artistic, either way, it did it. So why can't we get back to that? I guess it will never go back to that way. But I'm kind of gotten off topic. What I wanted to talk about was kindness. So my point was earlier is that it's sort of its fault for me and a lot of people in my family and people that I know. However, when I'm out and about or whatever, and I'm running into people on the street or in a store or in some kind of community or atmosphere, I will, you know, see a stranger, and if I make eye contact with them, I'll smile because, I don't know, I just feel it's a kind thing to do, and it's just an acknowledgement from one human being to the other to say, hello, I see you, you know, in a kind of a non-literal way, obviously, but you know what I mean. So I do that when I see somebody, I look up at them, and I smile, and generally they smile back because people like to be smiled at and acknowledged. And it's hard for someone to smile at you and not to smile back for most people. And, of course, there have been people who have smiled at me, looked at me, and thought I was up to something suspicious or something, or wanted to, you know, have sex with them or whatever, probably. But when it really wasn't anything of that kind or of that sort, what it was really about was just me acknowledging them as another human being passed me by because we happened to connect with our eyes for a moment. And so most people, though, these days, instead of doing that, will look down or away or avert their eyes when you lock eyes with a stranger. And I don't know if that's I think it must be because of the loss of connection we have, as I mentioned earlier, with the internet and everything else. And I think it has a real disservice it's a real disservice to humanity, in my opinion, what has happened to the world as a result of our ability to communicate more. We're now communicating less in the ways that matter most. So, yeah, we can get online and we can communicate with thousands of people at one moment, whether it's by the sound of my voice on a radio show or by a blog or an online magazine or chat room or forum or whatever the case may be. So we have this ability to communicate with a great numbers and masses of people from one moment. But however, the significance of that communication and the ability to really connect with those people, it's probably better to connect to 10 people and have some really deep, meaningful conversation than to connect to 1,000 and have a have one that's not meaningful at all. This is not to say that you can't have a meaningful connection or communication with thousands of people. I'm just saying that what once was having, you know, 10 people talking about some topic in a room or a book or a thought or intellectual discussion of some sort and really getting into it deeply, as opposed to kind of just doing it for entertainment purposes. So I think we're losing a lot of what we once had, and it's kind of making me sad. It's making me feel like more disconnected. I think all of us are feeling more and more disconnected because of our iPhones and our iPads and our computers and television and whatever else. And think about how often you actually don't look at your phone. I mean, could you really go an entire week without ever looking at your iPhone or your iPad or your computer, your email, checking the Facebook, for example? Facebook, okay. Facebook, hello. That's the perfect example, right? So Facebook, most of the world, this is a fact, most of the world is on Facebook. People who don't even have food, some people who don't even have things to eat every day are on Facebook. Facebook is huge. It's enormous. And it is and has become an incredibly powerful means of communication, as everyone is well aware. It is something that has all of our lives on it. From the moment we get on there until this moment now, we have a diary, essentially, of our entire lives, you know, if you're on there actively, as most people are. Photographs and messages and poetry or writing or whatever it is you put on there, videos. It's almost a diary of who you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great. But the kind of exhibitionistic side of Facebook kind of bothers me, because all of these things that we once would do on our own, perhaps for our own good or for our own recollection, putting it in a diary. I used to, for example, keep a diary, a handwritten diary. I kept one for, you know, from the time I was 14 or 13, I think 13, yeah. From the time I was 13 until about two or three years ago, I kept a handwritten diary. And I stopped keeping it because I just got out of the habit, and also it became less familiar to me. Even though I'd been doing it for so many years, I got to the point where, well, I do all of this anyway on Facebook. I do all of this elsewhere. And you can download your entire history from Facebook. You can download your entire history from other applications that keep it into a diary for you, diary format. So I figure, what's the point? So, but the point is this. The difference is this, is that the things that I would say in my diary, obviously I'm not going to say to the entire world everything I said in my diary. And that kind of can alter your sense of perception of what is real, what is reality, because what you say on Facebook may or may not be true. And I'm not saying that people are always actively trying to deceive others. I'm just saying that the same incident or the same recollection of a certain incident in your life that you may put in your diary, your personal diary, may be completely recounted completely differently if you put it on a public forum in Facebook. Because as a human being, we all do not want to look bad or necessarily come off as being the bad guy in a situation when in reality we may well know that we were, or we may well know that we did something wrong, but we don't want to admit it to everyone else, but we would admit it to ourselves. So the difference to me is that with a diary, you are able to really be honest with yourself. And when you look back on that diary years later, you really get a significantly a true depiction of who you were at that moment. Whereas with Facebook or something like that, a public forum where you're going to do the same thing, you don't really have that kind of intimacy. So that to me is the difference. Even if you keep a digital diary, and I started doing that, is keeping a digital diary. I don't keep it as religiously as I used to, but I do have a digital diary on my iPad I've had for a few years. And before that, I had it on my laptop. So that to me is the difference. And so if I look back at my diaries from my early years,
I'm a completely different person than I was then. And it's also kind of funny and hilarious the things that I would, you know, moan about and be upset about, just like my world was ending when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, that today, you know, I'm just thinking, wow, you know, what a moron I was, what an idiot I was, because, you know, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to change. You're supposed to develop. And if you stay in the same place, then obviously you're not living your life for the purpose that it's meant to be lived, because the whole point of living, in my opinion, is to grow spiritually, emotionally, whatever. And so when I look back on those diaries, I just can't help but laugh at myself and think about what an idiot I was and how I didn't really know anything. I thought I knew everything, and I didn't know shit. And so, you know, life experience counts for a hell of a lot. And I think that when it comes to kindness, I think that, is it something that is born or taught? Is it something that is intrinsically part of our human DNA or not? Because I know plenty of people who are truly unkind. People who will be mean just to hurt people because it makes them feel good to hurt other people, or makes them laugh or gives them a kick or whatever. See, I would never, ever be able to hurt someone intentionally just to make them hurt if they'd never done anything to me. Even if they've done something to me, it would only be in retaliation that I would say something hurtful, generally speaking. I'm just not somebody who likes to hurt other people. I don't like to hurt people's feelings. I don't like to make people feel sad or bad about themselves. And I think the reason people who are kind are kind, I think this is the truth. I think the fact is that people who are kind because they themselves have endured bigotry or hate or racism or some sense or something has made them feel different or an outcast or somehow they've been made to feel or experienced hate or unkindness of their own. That makes someone who is kind ultimately. If you go that direction, you can go one direction or the other. You can become a kind person because you're empathetic and you understand what it means to be hurt, and therefore you don't want to hurt other people, which is what I think I am. Or you can be someone who actually goes the other direction and wants to hurt everybody else in retaliation, and that makes you feel better about yourself. So I think people who are kind have themselves experienced some sort of agony of the heart or endured some sort of tragedy or some sort of, you know, something to make them be empathetic. And I think empathy is the key to kindness. I think you have to be able to empathize with other human beings to be able to truly be a kind person. So no, I don't think that being kind is something you're born with. I think that we are molded, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your circumstances, by our parents, by our society we live in, by the friends we keep company with, excuse me, by the people we're around. It is not something that we are molded into just by our genetics. It is something that we become as a result of our experiences in life. So if you are a kind individual and you do find yourself being loving and actually expressing that love through your actions, then, you know, you should be commended, because there are very few of us in this world who actually have empathy and love for our common, you know, or for each other, for other human beings. And it isn't easy to be that way. It's much easier to be mean, spiteful, and hurtful, because that puts up a wall and separates us from each other and our basic humanity. So if you find yourself, you know, meeting people who truly are kind, then you hang on to them because they're rare. I'm going to take a quick break, get a drink because my throat's dry. Sorry. And while I'm gone, I'm going to play a new song by the Pet Shop Boys, and we'll be right back. And we'll take a phone call from Ebony if she's still on the line. Be right back.
All right. So that was the latest song by the Pet Shop Boys called Axes. Most of their music usually has lyrics and words in it, but that's just a downright dance song. I love that song. It's new from them. So anyway, for those of you who are interested in that kind of stuff, there you go. So if you want to call in the numbers 323-843-6160, we have Ebony on the line. Let's take a call from her, see what she's up to. Hello. Are you there?
I'm good. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay. It's definitely morning here. I don't know what time it is for you, but it's like
2:30 a.m. here.
All right. So it is morning.
Yes, it is.
Here. How are you doing?
Great. Are you? Have you been listening to the show or?
Yeah, I was listening to a show. I'm laying in bed. It's Sunday morning. It's like I'm not getting up yet.
Do you celebrate Mother's Day in the UK or not?
No.
No.
Not today.
Wow. So distinctly American holiday, I guess, then. Interesting.
It is. We had Mother's Day in April.
Oh, so you do have March, a Mother's March. Day.
Yeah, we had Mother's Day. We just have
gotcha.
It for you guys.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We're the mother, you're the child, so you have it later.
Yeah. That's right. You're absolutely right. The mother country.
The mother country has it first.
Exactly.
That's how it is. But we had our Mother's Day. So So happy Mother's Day to all the American women out there who are celebrating today.
Absolutely. And are you, do you talk to your mother or not? Or?
Yeah, I'm very close to my mom. And being a mom too. Yeah, I think the hardest job on the planet ever to be a mother, and people don't realize how hard it is until you become one. You don't realize how hard it is to be a mom. But you know, we do the best we can. And I always say to people, you know, don't knock it. It's one of those things, right? You don't know. You really don't know if you're doing a good job. Normally, you know, someone will tell you, but by the time they properly tell you how good you've been or bad you've been, you're probably about to die if you've died, right?
Right.
No one really tells you the truth in life about how good or bad you are. So
that's right.
Just accept it for yourself. Just sort of say, well, you know what? I'm doing the best I can with what I know, and I can always improve. That's life.
That's all you can do is do the best you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good. What do you think about what I was speaking about in terms of kindness? And
I absolutely agree with you. Some people just maybe because they have experienced unkindness, they tend to be unkind. And they find it easy to hurt other people. I mean, I hear that on Blog Talk all the time when I do my shows. You know, people can be really mean, particularly a lot of the guys who call in. Sometimes, you know, or particular people I may work with, won't call any names, can be a little bit mean about other people. And I just think, where does that meanness come from? Where do you get to be so mean about other people? Is it that you feel so safe in your own life that you think, you know what, no one could ever hurt me. I'm unpenetrable. It just, you know, I will always be where I am.
I think it's the opposite, don't you?
Or what?
I think it's the opposite. I think that people who have a need to be mean or whatever are cruel really don't feel good about themselves. I feel like they themselves, deep down, whether they realize it or not, are not happy with who they are, because otherwise they wouldn't need to break other people down in the first place.
Yeah, and you do. You see them breaking people down. You think, like, why? Why do you need to do that? Why do you need to be so, so mean and unaccepting of other people? I mean, I did a show on Tuesday, and I had some of that. I really...
Sorry.
You know, yeah, if you listened. There was some meanness going on there in acceptance. But it's like, well, okay, maybe, you know, you don't even understand the law of comedy. You know, what goes around comes around. And, you know, you're going to be that mean. You know, maybe it's going to hit you somewhere. Maybe it won't be. Maybe it won't be your partner or someone you think that immediate in your life. But somewhere, or maybe, you know, some with your children, somewhere you're going to learn the lesson of kindness and your actions you know, you'll learn it. And I don't really spend a lot of time trying to convince them that, oh, you need to be different, because I think life teaches you. You know, life will teach you. You'll get your lesson. You know, if it's not today, at some point you'll get the bumpy ride and you will remember, you know, how you've been. And I just think it's unnecessary. You don't have to be mean. You don't even have to suck up to people. You just have to just do the best you can and be be nice to people, because life is so short as well. Do you know what I mean? We do. People don't recognize we have such a small time on this planet. And the time that you have, you know, be good to people, because, yeah, you know, hey, you don't know how long you're going to be here. You don't know what your journey is or what your purpose is. But I think if you can do the best you can and be nice to people, you have a chance of impacting other people's lives. And, hey, you know, who knows? You know, if you have children or you have family, they're going to benefit somehow in the future. So, you know, it's not always about you. And sometimes people think it's always about me. It's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I think also that people are unaware. You know, I think people are unaware of how their actions do affect other people and what their words say. Words have power, and they can cut, they can hurt other people. And even if someone's having, you never know what kind of day someone's having. You don't know if they're having a great day, somebody died, somebody, you know, you never know what they're going through. You don't know someone else's story. And so just from, if you make the choice from being either kind or unkind in that one moment can change that person's entire day for the better or for the worse. And so if you realize that you have that power to change someone, I mean, I'm not saying that we as individuals can necessarily control everybody's lives. I'm just saying that the things that we say, the things that we do affect other people. And if we realize that, most people who have a kind heart will say, well, I want to be a kind person. But I think there are people who really just do not have a kind heart, really honestly just are mean to the core. I do. There are people, as you mentioned earlier on Blog Talk Radio, who, and I know the kind of people you're talking about. They've come to my show. I've been on here for 3 years, and trust me, I know them. And they kind of, what they say, and some horrible, horrendous things that they will say. But these people make careers, you know, if you would put it that way, out of doing this, going to people's shows, and in their own lives, I'm sure that they're probably nothing like that. But somehow they get a thrill and a joy out of hurting other people. And I just don't understand that.
Well, you know, and I'm like, what's to understand? Let them do what they have to do. And I think people just have to work on being the best they can be. You know, you can't ask anybody else to be anything, really, because the world's out there, and they know, I think most of the time they know what they're doing, and they know they can be different if they choose to be different. I think the art is just to keep being who you are, and, you know, hopefully people learn from who you are that they can be different. You know, people say to me, oh, like, why do you work with some people? You know, they're so nasty and horrible when they can be. And I like, you know what, hey, I know they can be that element, but I'm hoping that, you know, with working with someone, it will show them up to be who they are, and they will want to change, because it has to be self, you know, you have to recognize who you're being, and then you have to want to change. No one else can change you. So if you feel that by working with me, you can see that, you know, hey, I can be different, and maybe I can then get a different response. Or if people eventually shy away from you so much and run away, you know, and you lose that what you're trying to achieve, which is you want the notoriety and you want people to, you want the fame or whatever. If you lose that because people don't like who you're being, maybe that will teach you that you may need to be something different to achieve something different. But
I think that's true to an extent, but I think that unfortunately, I think one has to be somewhat enlightened or somewhat evolved to some degree to actually make that realization. You know what I mean? If they, and I think that people sometimes who are like that, who are unkind and mean and cruel intentionally, aren't that evolved. And evolved enough to think the way that you're saying. I mean, I think you're giving them a little too much credit, honestly.
I know. I hear you. I think sometimes, because someone sent me a message yesterday about the show we did on Tuesday. We were talking about, you know, men on the down low. Okay.
Yeah, I missed it. I wish I hadn't. Yes.
Oh, yeah, you need to listen to it. It's
I'm going to, yes.
Yeah, it went on the down low and the dishonesty. But, you know, there were a few people on there who were a bit homophobic. I have to say it was coming out. And the interesting thing was that they were knocking themselves out with their own argument because they were saying, okay, you want to know about, you know, women need to know that men are on the down low if
they're
in a relationship with them.
Yes.
But if you are so homophobic that you won't let people be honest about who they are, right?
You can't blame them for being in the closet.
Questions, then you can't blame them for being in the closet.
Right. Exactly.
It then makes it hard for women to know because you are saying, right, if you tell me, you know, we're going to kill you as a community, we really don't know, that's it, you know, then how do we know? You will then have all these men on the down low, like we have, who will never come out because they don't want the repercussions, right?
Right.
So we lose, right? Who loses? We continue to lose.
Exactly.
And I think they only realized at the end, we don't want to know. We don't want to know they're doing this. We don't want to. And then, okay. And then at the same time, you're saying, what? How do women know? We won't know. We will never know. So it's an idiotic way to be, but people kind of just don't see it. But someone who listened to the show yesterday sent me a message and said, it just was mad because do they not realize that by the attitudes they were displaying, more and more men are going to stay in that closet and never come out.
They're creating an atmosphere that makes it impossible for them to be coming out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, pure ignorance. I mean, I was
absolutely.
Wow. A lot of ignorance out there. 2013.
Oh, so much. God,
I can't believe how much ignorance, but there you go.
And that's true. What you just said, I can't believe how much ignorance. That's what I'm astounded by every single day. I cannot get over how much ignorance there is in the world, and not just in regards to homosexuality or to people on the down low or whatever the case may be, but any topic. I mean, there's so much ignorance in the world, and people seem completely content being ignorant. I mean, it's almost like it's like they're proud of it in some way.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I don't get it. I just don't understand it because I think as a logical human being, I think I consider myself pretty logical thinking. I think that if something doesn't make sense to me logically, I can't compute it. It just doesn't make sense in my brain. So these people who are like that, you know, for no reason, when you tell them and you give them irrefutable evidence as to why their way of thinking is honestly wrong, then they can't really combat the argument, yet they still continue to think the same way. I don't get that.
Yeah.
If you're given what, you know, if I ask you something, if I gave you pure evidence that your way of thinking were wrong through a logical standpoint, wouldn't you consider at that point, maybe I should think about, so you take it under consideration at least. But these people don't even think about, no, you're wrong because, you know, I was raised this way or whatever. Well, that's fine how you were raised, but it's how you were raised. Is that correct? Is that right? Is that the right way of thinking? Anyway, it just irritates the heck out of me. It really does.
Oh, I know. But I guess it's a lack of that being open to suggestion, to hear other people, to question the things that we hold on to. And that is, you know, yeah, you're right. You have to be quite evolved to be able to do that, to actually say, well, actually, this is what I've been taught all my life. This is what is out there and people have told me is true. Is it really true? Can I question that and look at it and turn it around and see that maybe actually it may not hold anything? You know, this may be just be the beliefs of the people around me or the people that taught me as I grew up. And if people could do that more, I think we'd have a chance to move on as, you know, in this planet, we'd move on to greater levels. We would be so much smarter, so much more empathetic. We would support each other more. We would love each other more. But, you know, that's where we are, where we are, you know.
Right. We are where we are. Exactly. But I do have to say, about that one thing, though, is that let me ask you something about the UK in terms of how your political spectrum is. I mean, and the United States, I don't know if everybody knows how it works here because it's the United States and people are just usually know what we're doing. But anyway, in terms of our elections and things like that, so we have, you know, Democrats, Republicans, we have conservatives, we have liberals, whatever. Do you have a parliamentary system there, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So you have a conservative side and a liberal side. Is that correct or not?
Yeah, we do.
Generally speaking, I mean.
Just like you, but not as strongly
one or the other.
Divided, but maybe not as strongly as you. So we have conservatives, we have liberals, and then we have Labour. So we have Labour, which may be a little bit like your Democrats.
Uh-huh.
But you have Democrats. You have a weird system compared to we have Labour, which is really like the people,
the working class,
people. Mm-hmm. But you have, and then you have, yeah. But similar to you, we have working class people, a working class party that is supported by people that may be middle class as well. Yeah,
right.
And then we have a conservative party that is middle class, upper class, but supported by working class people, right?
Okay.
Really supported by working class people who may be aspiring or feeling that if I support that party, then
I'll become
one of
them.
Get better. I'll get better because they want more of their people. And then you have liberals that are wishy-washy in the middle, who are not conservative. Partly, some of them are working class, some of them are middle class, upper class, but they just have this philosophy which is around, I don't know, giving more local democracy to people locally, so allowing local people
to rule themselves, basically.
Rule themselves, kind of thing. So they're into, a lot more kind of local, powerful local people and groups and a shared kind of economy type thing, but they'll never have power. They have shared power now with conservatives because we have a coalition government, but they've never ruled the country. We've never had, I don't think we've ever had a liberal party in government.
Okay.
So I don't know. I could be wrong. We may have been in the very, very distant past. But it mainly it's either conservatives in power or Labour in power. So a bit like you, either the Democrats or the
Republicans
in power.
The reason I ask is because, I mean, here with conservatives here in the United States are people who are typically what we call, you know, like Wall Street people. Wall Street meaning people who have lots of money, they're investing their money in stock and bonds and things like that, typically millionaires and billionaires. The GOP, the Grand Old Party, which is the Republicans. So here, Republicans are people typically who are very wealthy. So it's based on money here. It's based on how much money you have. And in terms of their policies, it's conservative policies, meaning they want things to stay the way they are, the status quo, meaning they want a man and a wife and, you know, two kids and a white picket fence and the traditional, quote-unquote, traditional way of things. So that's what a conservative is here. And in terms of liberals in this country, a liberal or a Democrat, which is more aligned with the Democratic Party, is someone who is pretty laissez-faire. Do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt me. And, you know, but also looking out for the working class people, the middle class people are typically more liberal. So it's a little different than you have there. But the reason I ask you that is because here, when we have any kind of election cycle or whatever, it is incredibly there's so much vitriol going back and forth, and we have a very long election cycle, whereas you have a very short one, isn't that correct? Like 6 weeks or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here it's like a 2-year process. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
And so we have a lot of mudslinging back and forth, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so what I was going to say is that when it comes to like kindness or whatever, here conservatives only care about what they themselves can get for themselves, what makes themselves better, their lives better, whatever. Democrats care more about what is best for the mass or the en masse, the whole, as the group and the country, so as the working class people. So I think it's like, to me, when you have an ideology that's based on whether you're going to care about people or not care about people, I think it creates a really interesting system here, because we have people who
when you're a Democrat and you care about like gay rights, you care about women's rights, and you care about racism, you care about equality, whatever, that's what the liberals want. And you have the conservatives who don't care about any of that, and they want everything to stay the way it was, and nobody gets anything from the government. So do you think that people who, when it comes to political system, I'm trying to compare it to your country, but I don't really know that much about your system besides what you told me. When you have someone in your system, do you think that when they get into power, the people, like for your example, your prime minister, do you think he cares about people who are not part of his party? Do you think he cares about people who are not really aligned with him or can help him or can't get him elected or whatever? Again, I don't know how it works there. Do you think that people really, truly care? Or do you think it's really based on their own selfish interests when they become president or they become here, for example, or they become prime minister there? What do you think the real motivation is behind your political party?
Well, I think it depends on who's in power. I think different leaders have shown different behaviors. So,
well, sure.
Yeah, Margaret Thatcher, who died.
Oh, God. Horrible woman.
Yeah, everybody believes she cared only about her party, and she didn't really care about the working class. But she did some things which did support the working class, but a lot of things that weren't so good as well. But, you know, then we had Tony Blair, who I really supported as a prime minister because he was completely new. And it brought in a new Labour when I was younger. So for me, it was like he had a new way of things, a new way of doing things. He offered some hope when he started, and he did very well for the first kind of 7-8 years. And then I think his problem was George Bush, really.
Oh, you know, God. He was everybody's problem.
His problem was becoming friends with George Bush and doing everything that George Bush did.
He kissed his ass. He kissed his
ass. Yeah, and that was it. It was too late. He messed himself up. But if I look, he was the one person I really admired, for a long time as a prime minister. He did well. He introduced a lot of new policies. I think for a while he did very well. But, you know, it does depend. I mean, David Cameron, who's in now, oh, he's an idiot. I can't even be bothered to talk about him. I don't know what he's doing. I have no clue. I can't even bear to hear the man speak, so I can't, you know.
That's how I felt about George Bush for 8 years.
Yeah, can't handle it. So, no.
Well, you think the politicians generally get into politics, though, for the right reasons? Do you think they really want to help, or do you think once they get in there and they realize the way things happen and work that they really can't do what they set out to do in terms of helping people?
I think sometimes, initially I think they want to, unless they come out of a kind of dynasty of politicians.
Politically,
like
exactly.
Bush.
Yeah.
they do want to change something. I think, you know, when you get in, you find that it's much harder than you thought, particularly when it's a massive country like yours and mine is big. You know, you can see actually over time. And what was interesting, when they start off, they always have black hair. By the time they finish,
their
hair is really gray.
Everyone.
You know, except like Margaret Thatcher managed to dye out. But, you know, like, you know, it'd be, you know, you see the hair change, tells you the level of pressure and stress that goes into running a country. And, you know, I'm sure that's the same for Obama right now. You know, he was my little pinup. He still is my pinup at work. And I could see that, you know, he's lovely still, good looking.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's starting to age rapidly.
He's worn. Yes.
Yeah, he's worn. So, you know, thank God for Michelle still trying to keep it up.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's something.
I always say that there's no way in the world I would ever want that job. I don't see why anybody would want that job.
Hardest job in the world.
Oh my God, it is. It absolutely is.
I don't think anybody could. But, you know, the difference with your country, which I've noticed, is that you can be Republican and you can vote for Obama.
Yeah.
Right? I got a friend from Florida. He is a Republican, but he has always voted for Obama. And we can't do that here.
Really?
If you are conservative and you would vote for the party and you also vote for the leader at the same time. Separately.
We do. Yes, our senators because and our representatives are different than our president. So, yeah, they're elected separately. Exactly.
Yeah, no, ours are not elected separately.
Yeah.
You vote for the party and the leader at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think that, and it's true, Obama, you know, that's one of the things about him specifically is that when he came into office, you know, one of the, his entire catchphrase was about hope, right? So
yeah.
his first term, I mean. And so I think people really wanted a new breath of fresh air, something completely different than George Bush and everything else. And even people who voted for Bush who did vote for Obama. So I think that, you know, yeah, when he came in, I think he was a doe-eyed, you know, optimistic, idealistic, you know, man. But I think after a few years, he realized
it got worn out.
Hard. Yeah, it's really hard.
You don't have a Congress that supports you, and who bring everything you put in, they'll want to turn around and. So it's hard. It's hard to get your stuff through. And that's a reality of power, isn't it? You know, that we can stand outside and observe it and think, actually, it's much easier. I just need to get in there. I just need to be the
right
person making decisions. And you get in there and you realize, really?
Mm-hmm.
This is an institution that's not easy in any shape or form to manage. But I still love the fact, I love the ways of hope with leaders that they bring, you know, the fact that Obama brought that, you know, I remember the inauguration and crying tears watching it on screen here. So, so wonderful to see some hope coming into the world and change. And I think, you know, you never forget that no matter what's happened since.
I
think it's wonderful. We had that when Tony Blair was elected, and, you know, and they, you know, I remember the Labour conference. They were playing "Things Can Only Get Better." You know that
good song. Yeah, I love that song.
"Things Can Only Get Better," and that was their theme song. And for me, as a, you know, I loved it. It was hope. It's hope. You know, it's hope. And, you know, if anybody can bring a little bit of hope into the world. We know that a lot of things can't change, and people don't want it to change anyway. But, you know, anybody who can bring a ray of hope, I always say, you know, that's a good thing. Even politically, you know, even if you never trust anything, and I hate politicians, they're all liars. And all
true.
But
it's true.
A ray of hope is good. It encourages people. It makes us feel our time in this world isn't as bad as it is. So there you go. There you go.
Well, that's very true. I'm going to take a break. Are you going to come back? Are you going to go away? Or what are you going
to
do?
I'm going to go away because I need to go to one of my friends who I think his birthday is today. So I need
to
go. Well,
happy birthday to your friend.
Chat. I will. But you have a great day. And
you too. And thanks for calling in.
You're doing well.
Oh, well, thank you, darling. Thank you. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that was Ebony calling from the UK. You can catch her show, by the way. I'm not sure when you can catch it, but you can type in Ebony on Blog Talk Radio, Ebony Empress, and her show will come up, and you'll find her there. Rise and Shine with Ebony Empress and Tanika Geis. She has a show almost every day, I think, so check her out. I'm going to be right back after this, and we'll talk some more about actually, we're going to talk about customer service and also some other things in the news. Be right back.
I can't get these memories out of my mind. And some kind of I have
Hey, we're back with the show. We've got an hour left in the show. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. Just had Ebony calling in for the past hour talking about kindness and some other things we talked about the politics and other issues. If you have something to say, feel free to call in or let me know, and I will be happy to take your call. So we talked about that the first hour. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about just some various things, some things in the news, and also customer service in general. I'd like to know what the hell happened to it, because I have had the worst experiences lately with customer service. I mean, I have high expectations, I guess, but I don't think they're too high. I mean, when I go somewhere to a restaurant or to a store or whatever, I just expect to be treated kindly and with respect and, you know, like appreciated. But I've been places lately that were horrible experiences. And the interesting thing is, it does matter if you're going to a high-end place versus a low-end place. So if you're going to, say, Nordstrom to go shopping versus Walmart, or you're going to a four-star restaurant versus Taco Bell, obviously you're going to get different types of you know, responses and treatment in those locations than you would from another one. So I don't have expectations higher than the establishment in which I'm, you know, patronizing. So, for example, you know, I went to Taco Bell about, I don't know, a month ago, and I don't go there very much, but I did go there and was taking my order was for me, myself, and some friends, and my husband and I. And we were all, I was taking the order, I was in the car, and the lady on the thing says, "Hi, can Taco Bell, can I help you?" And so I said, "Yeah, I'd like a blah, blah, blah." She said, "Okay, that'll be whatever it'll be." She said, "Like $4.76. I said, "No, I'm not done yet." She goes, "Okay." She said, "What else do you want?" I go, I said, "Whatever else I wanted." She goes, "Okay, that'll be 17, whatever." I go, "No, I'm not done. I have more." She goes, "What else do you want?" Like that. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" I was like, so I finished my order and went up to the window, and she like basically threw the food at us and whatever. I was like, "Oh my God." So I reported the bitch, of course, to Taco Bell. I don't know if it was ever done, but she's not there last time I went. So anyway, that's good. But when I've gone to Nordstrom, for example, or to a really nice restaurant or whatever, the treatment's very good. The customer service is great. But even if you're going to some low-end place like Taco Bell or Walmart or whatever, you still should be able to expect basic customer service. Like if you have a question about an item at Walmart, or if you're ordering something on the fast food menu at Taco Bell, you shouldn't be made to feel like you're being rushed or whatever. You should actually be made to feel like you are, you know, appreciated. So fortunately, that has been the issue I've had with customer service lately. Hopefully in the future things will improve, but we'll see. Want to talk a little bit quickly about the latest and gay news and you know what's been going on in that arena, because a lot's been going on, of course, as you know, with gay marriage in the United States or whatever. We've had a lot going on with that, and actually we have the 10th state already has approved gay marriage, and now Maryland, I think, or it's another state, I can't remember, is about to decide on whether they're going to approve it. So it'll be the 11th state that allows gay marriage. And so, you know, the writing is on the wall for those people who are against it. It is going to happen, and people can't really do shit about it. So you might as well accept it, people. You might as well accept it. So that's really all I had to say about that. Well, hold on. We've got a phone call from 661-748. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, how can I help you?
Yeah, I was just calling about your views on gay marriage.
What did you want to say about gay marriage?
No, I was asking for your views about it.
I'm asking you what your views are.
I think they're fucking homos and they should never fucking get married.
Oh, why not?
Because they're fucking gay. It's wrong.
What's wrong about it?
Dick and ass.
What does that have to do with marriage? What is a dick and an ass, which actually could apply to heterosexuals as well, as it does often, by the way, have to do with gay marriage?
Yeah.
What does it have to do with gay marriage?
Gross.
What's gross about it?
Dick on dick.
So if you don't like dick on dick, then don't put your dick next to some other guy's dick.
I don't, but I have to see it every day.
You must.
Walking down the street, faggot old man.
So you see gay people putting their dicks next to each other walking down the street?
Yeah, it's gross.
When do you see dicks going up against each other down the street?
They rub. They have sword fights in the middle of the street. It's fucking disgusting.
That's ridiculous. Of course they don't.
And that's
Idiots. Anyway, so people who talk about gay marriage, it's so funny, people like that who call in. They want to say, oh, it's disgusting, whatever. You know, it's funny. They say dick in ass is disgusting. Yet heterosexuals also do the dick in the ass thing, which is called, you know, anal sex. So it's really funny when it's a guy and a guy, it's not okay. But when it's a guy and a girl, it is okay with them. He and the guy just says, oh, fuck yeah, dick in an ass if it's a girl and a guy. Mm-hmm, yeah. Actually, probably what he wants is an actual man's ass. He's probably just, you know, substituting the woman for it. Because if you're going to have anal sex, you might as well just be gay, right? I mean, and you're getting, walking down the street seeing these guys with their dicks up against each other, which is ridiculous because I don't ever see that myself and never have. I don't know where you're walking. You must be walking in a gay area. Therefore, you must be in a closet on the down low. Otherwise, you'd be walking in an area. You'd see two gay guys walking down the street to put their dicks next to each other because obviously it's not going to happen in the first place. You obviously are a repressed homosexual. Poor thing. Just come out and stop being so afraid of your sexual orientation. You obviously have an issue with your sex that you have with women, which you probably don't have. And you're just posturing and trying to be macho for your little boyfriend there laughing in the background. So, you know, I'm sorry that you feel threatened by gay people, because obviously you do. And that's where the word homophobia comes from. You're afraid of gay people. You don't like gay people. And the fact is, most gay people would kick your ass anyway. Most gay men are far more butch, far more well-built than you. So I would be afraid if I were you. But those kind of calls just make me laugh. This is typical bullshit nonsense stuff. And the fact that these people are actually, I don't know, what's the word? People like that actually feel that they are saying something that I've never heard before, or saying something that I find interesting. I don't know what they even bother calling in for, you know? But the majority of people who have an issue with gay people are either A, gay themselves in the closet or on the down low, as they say, B, or in the repressed homosexuals, B, they're just bigots and actually don't like people different than themselves because they don't feel that they have the power over them that they want to have over them, especially if they're white men. White men obviously often have an inferiority complex when it comes to minorities of any kind, whether it's gay or black or whatever. Especially black men, because black men have big dicks, and gay men don't really give a shit what they think in the first place, so they don't have any power over them. So a lot of times that's the case with white men like that who just called in. Unfortunately, there are so many of them. And the good news is there's far more of us who actually are not as stupid and unenlightened and uninvolved as they are. So regardless of people like that, gay people are going to get married, and gay people are going to do what gay people do, whether they like it or not, because it's no one's fucking business. If you don't like gay people, you don't like gay marriage, then don't marry a gay person. It's pretty fucking easy. It's pretty fucking simple, you know. So I'm going to play a song, and I'll be right back. After that, we'll talk more about this and some of the more gay stuff. Be right back.
You're far from your home.
Okay, so we're back. The last few minutes of the show. If you want to call in, excuse me, the number is 323-843-6160. In terms of gay marriage, like I was saying earlier, people who don't like gay marriage just don't marry a gay person. It's pretty simple. It doesn't affect anybody else. It doesn't hurt anybody else. It doesn't do anything to anybody else or society. The societies who've had gay marriage have not crumbled to the ground as they would like you to believe. I just find it just ridiculous, the fact that gay people can't get married, or they can get married. And we do get married, but we are not federally recognized yet. But that's going to change soon. So, and the 12th state that's going to possibly approve gay marriage soon is Minnesota. It's expected to give their final approval on Monday to a marriage equality bill. So hopefully that will pass. It probably will. It went through the House by a vote of 75-59 the week before. So it seems like it will actually happen. So it will be the 12th state. And it seems to me that gay marriage is essentially sweeping the nation. And people are going to have to deal with it, like it or not. But what else is new? That's enough about that. Last thing I want to talk about was Harvey Milk Airport. San Francisco is talking about, or has for a while been talking about, dedicating their airport, changing the name of their airport to Harvey Milk, or to Harvey Milk and what was the other guy's name? I can't remember his name. It's horrible. But anyway, both of them, they got murdered in the 70s. They were city supervisor and the mayor. Decided to just name simply a terminal after them instead of the entire airport, which I think is a travesty because honestly, people who got murdered, I mean, your freaking mayor was murdered. I think he should get an actual dedication, as well as Harvey Milk, who was a huge, huge, huge leader in the gay community in San Francisco and the beginning of the gay rights movement, really in a lot of ways, the Castro district. And I'm sure many of you have seen Sean Penn in the movie Milk. If you haven't seen Milk, the movie Milk, you should definitely watch it on Netflix or something because it's a really amazing movie. If it's on Netflix, I don't know if it is. But anyway, check it out. It's a good movie, good history lesson about what gays had to do to get acceptance in the early days of the gay rights, civil rights movement, which was unfortunately sort of curtailed by the AIDS crisis in the early 80s, which was blamed on gay people, blah, 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 and the gay panic and everything else happened as a result of that, kind of set everything back and pushed everything backwards. So if it hadn't been for that, probably we would have already had all of the rights we are entitled to as citizens of this country, but unfortunately it did. So we are now getting closer and closer to gaining full acceptance. And I just have to say at the end of the show here that I talked about the kindness in the show, and I don't understand people's need to be evil or mean or cruel or whatever. And there's very little that hurts me in terms of things like faggot or whatever, things like that. They don't hurt me at all anymore. I mean, I'm 38 years old. I'll be 38 in the next month anyway. And I've heard that for all my life, and it actually never hurt me to hear the word faggot because I've never been ashamed of being gay. I've never been somebody who was ashamed of it. So even when I was younger, a teenager, I wasn't ashamed of it. So I was openly gay from the time I was 14. So it doesn't shame me into being anything other than just me. I am who I am. I'm not going to change for anybody else. I never will. And I can't any more than anybody else can change in terms of that part of myself. I am what I am because that's how I was born. Just as a heterosexual was born heterosexual, I was born gay. And, people want you to believe what they want to believe because people are different. They're always going to try to throw stones at you and try to make you, look at the different person. The person's different than us. We've got to kill them or get rid of them or whatever. It happens in the animal kingdom when something's different. For example, if you have like a flock of sheep, or not the sheep, is like a good example, like a bunch of birds or something, and one of the birds is white and all the other birds are black, then all the black birds try to kill the white bird because it's different or something, and they don't understand what that means instead of accepting it and understanding that it's got different gifts. So people who are gay have a lot to offer this world. As you well know, we wouldn't have the kind of artistic, not that every gay person is artistic, but I'm just saying the kind of success we've had in the arts and the kind of success we've had in politics even, and in business and in many aspects of the world. Things that we have contributed to this world are
you know, massive amounts of contributions that we've contributed. So if you remember that without us, you wouldn't have a hairstylist probably. You wouldn't have an interior designer. You wouldn't have fashion at all probably to the degree you have it now. And if you did, it wouldn't be anything like we have now. It's not to say that straight people can't do those things well as well. But generally speaking, gay people are better at those things and many other things than heterosexuals, just like heterosexuals are sometimes better at things than gay people, just like lesbians are sometimes better than things than gay people or heterosexuals. I mean, there's always people. My point is everybody has their own gifts, and so you need to accept the differences because along with those differences come those gifts, and along with those gifts come those differences. So you can't separate the good from what you consider the bad, because they are one. And what is considered bad is part of what makes them good, and vice versa. So people have intolerance, and there will always be intolerance because there will always be morons, ignorance, and idiots, and people who are uneducated. That sounds really stupid. People who are uneducated and people who are without any sort of heart or compassion or love for people. And there will always be those people. But you know what? There will always be people like me and people who have great compassion for others, care about people, no matter who they are, how they're different, what they are, even if it makes somebody else feel uncomfortable, you know, I will accept them because that's how I am. I'm not somebody who's going to look down on people because they're different, because I find differences beautiful. And I think that you should too. So I hope you all have a great night, and I will be back next week. I hope you have a good night. And here's my song dedicated to the last caller. Good night.
Inside your tiny mind, and look a bit harder, 'cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval.
Translate.
The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.